Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for inviting me to join you this morning and to share some thoughts about Elul and the Triangle of Perfection. First, I'd like to say I'm honored to join such a group whose Kaveh Ikim on a regular basis. Not only are you the Zebulun who goes out to work, most of you, I understand, go out to work, and you support the Lomdei Torah who study all day, the Yisachar, but here I see that you're also the Yisachar who learn the Torah yourselves. So you have both the Zechus of Zebulun and Yisachar, which is unbelievably great. I want to say also at the outset that I'm not qualified to give Musar, nor am I capable of giving Torchacha. But as Reb Chaim Brisker, Zichron Levracha, used to say very often, he said, Doret Chaim et Chaimu. He said, Chaim is speaking to Chaim. He says, in the fact that you listen to me because I'm thinking out loud, if you can gain something from it, I'm very pleased. The Gemara Menachas, Daf Mem Gimel, states, Kol mi sheyesh loy mezuzah bepischoy, betzitzis bevigdoy, utfilin beroyshoy, muftach loy shelo yechto. If a person has constantly surrounding him three mitzvahs, the mitzvah of mezuzah, of tzitzis, and of tefillin, which means that when he goes out of the house and comes into the house, invites people into the home, goes out to meet other people, he's constantly aware of what the mezuzah represents, and he's enwrapped in the tzitzis, in the beged, and constantly he's either looking at the tcheles, remembering all of the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are incumbent upon us, and at the same time, if he doesn't have the tcheles, then he looks at the, as Rashi points out, the gematria of tzitzis, 600, and the five knots, and the eight strands. So you have once again remembering the tariag mitzvahs, something which concerns him personally. And the tefillin, of course, shibaroishoi, that all of your thoughts, all of the feelings that a person has, and the thoughts, and the five senses, and the moyach, that a person constantly is aware of his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his duty as a Ben Yisroel, as a Ben Torah. And of course, these are mitzvahs temidiyos, constant, on a regular basis. The chinuch, in the mitzvah, the 17th mitzvah, the 16th mitzvah, Tes Zayin, the mitzvah, the lav of Shviras Etzim Pesach. The mitzvah, the chinuch uses the words, Ha'adam nifal kifi pu'loiso. And he continues and he says, V'chol machshavos liboy nimshochos tomid acher ma'asov, shehu oisek bohem im toiv v'imra. Person is constantly affected by his actions. We remember the Chazal that says a person should always try to have the inside, his toichai, to match baroi, his outside, and you would think it should be the opposite. You would think that once you have the honesty and the sincerity within you, then you should try to behave that way so you won't be hypocritical. So outwardly you'll show what a great individual you are, and it's the opposite. Chazal say, your toichai should be kibaroi, like your outside. So that means you should begin at a young age, superficially, on the outside, you begin to look like a great tzaddik. You emulate the tzaddikim. You look up to someone, so you try to copy, you try to emulate that person. Im toiv v'imra. If you're going to be a great tzaddik inside, but you're going to be constantly following and dressing and behaving like someone who's a rasha, the chinuch assures us eventually you'll turn in that direction. There's nothing to escape it. Im toiv v'imra. Rav Avigdor Miller, Zichron Levracha, once told a story about the altar of Slobodka. He said that one of the maskilim in Slobodka came over to the altar and he was complaining about some of the yeshiva boys. He said, "Evest Rebbe," he said, "the bochrim narin dechok." He says, "They're fooling you." He says, "They have the tzitzis outside and they wear the black hats and they dress like great tzaddikim." He says, "I know they're not quite tzaddikim. You know it and I know it. They're fooling you." And the altar's response to him was, Yes, he says, they're fooling me, and they're fooling me again, and they're fooling me until they straighten themselves out. This is the Chodesh of Elul, and we know that it's a Zman Ratzon. Of course, the 29 days of the Chodesh of Elul, they contain 696 hours, tier 2 shois. It's an Eis Ratzon. But of course, we know the real reason that it's an Eis Ratzon is because this was the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was poiled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the time of Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, the 40-day period when finally he was zoicha to come down with the Shlucha Shnias for Klal Yisrael, he did a great thing for us. He saved us entirely, spiritually and physically. And from this time on, when the Rabbeinu Shlom said that I forgive you and I'm giving you another lease on life to all of Klal Yisrael, this has become an Eis Ratzon, a time when a Yid can achieve so much more during these 40 days than he can any other time throughout the year. In the Shulchan Aruch, we find that there are a few remozim for Chodesh Elul. The famous psukim, Ani l'doidi v'doidi li, the first letters of those words are Elul, Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. The pasuk Ishtarayehu Matonos Levyoinim from Megillas Esther, again the letters representing the Chodesh Elul. Umol Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ve'es levav zaracha es levavcha ve'es levav, again the Chodesh Elul. And there's really a fourth one that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch also, and that is regarding V'elokim ino leyodoy v'samti lecha mokayim, regarding a person who finds refuge in the ear miklachas, in the ear miklot. A person finds refuge in the ear miklot when he has committed a murder accidentally, when he's killed someone accidentally. If you think about it, the pasuk of Ba'asher leitzod v'elokim ino leyodoy and the pasuk of Mol Hashem Elokecha v'eslevavcha zaracha both really are on the same theme. They both relate to tshuva. They both talk about how a person has the opportunity to save himself, to save his nefesh, which is a nefesh achitas, and to get a kapara for himself. One is referring to a choyta b'shoigig, and one is referring to a choyta b'mezig. So it's really one idea, tshuva. The pasuk of Anili Doidi V'Doidi Li can be said to refer to tefillah. It's how you relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the pasuk of Yishtarayehu Matanus Levyoinim, without a doubt, is Ben Adam Lachaveiroi, relates to tzedakah. So in the tefillah that we have on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Shuvo, tefillah, tzedakah, Ma'avir Nesroya HaGezeira, this is already mentioned in our constant repetition of on the month of Elul, when we say the David Hashem Oiri, and at the end we say Lulei Heamanti Lioris Tuv Hashem Beeretz Chaim. Lulei are the letters for the name Elul in reverse, and these psukim that the Shulchan Aruch gives us are to remind us that not only do we have to remember that we have to improve ourselves in one area, but there are three areas that we have to improve: Bein Adam LaMokoyim, Ben Adam LaChaveiroi, and Ben Adam LaAtzmoi. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Lamed, Amar of Yehuda, Haiman Deboy Lemevi Chasida, Lekayim Miladin Zikin, Rava, and according to the Rif and the Rajbar, the Gir says Rabina Omar Milidin Ovis, Ramila Milidin Brachas. Strange Gemara. The Gemara says if you want to become a chosid, you should be mekayim what's written in the Zikin. And Ravina says, well, what's mekayim in Ovis? What's written in Ovis? Mesefta Pipi Ovis. And then there's another shita, Vila de Brachas. The Maral says that all three are needed for shleimus in a person. You have to be complete within yourself. You have to understand and study and practice what's written in Mesefta Ovos, which teaches us how to correct and how to improve our own character, our own personality, so that you'll be a sholem within yourself. And that's what the reference to Obos is. The other Shita, the other Mandomer who says the Kayamila de Brachas, he says you have to be showing between yourself and Adam Lamokai. And so you have to fulfill all that's written in Brachas. If somebody is Nana Miola Mazer, Bli Bracha, it's Kila Gazala Kadish Baruch Hu. You have to be have a complete and an honest, sincere relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you have to fulfill all that's written in the brachas, whether it's Kriya Shema, whether it's the Brachas Hanen, and everything that's in the Masechta, and everything that deals with brachas. And the third, the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, is if somebody wants to be Mekayim, to fulfill the Shleimus in himself, he should fulfill all that's written in Ezekiel, which means Ben Adam Lachaveiroi, the torts, the bailments, the liabilities, the responsibilities. If you have to Rabbi Kamocha, everything that's in Chayshin Mishpat, everything that's in the Seder of Ezekiel. So the morale is really telling us that all three are necessary for Shlemus. And all three, Eilu Ve'eilu, Divrei Elokim Chayim. It's not as if there's just an opinion. You take one choice, one of the three, whichever you like. No. He says you need all three in order to fulfill this, to become a Chosid. But we should explain what is meant by Chosid. In the last three centuries, we have what might be termed modern Hasidus, or the Hasidic movement, ever since the Baal Shem HaKadosh. And if you recall, one of the most widely known, one of the greatest antagonists, one of those who was most vehemently against the beginning of this Hasidic movement, was none other than the great Malach Hashem Tzevokos, the Vilna Gaon, Zichron Levracha. And if you look in the Sforim that are written of the Vilna Gaon, without any failure, every one of them says, Hagon Hechosid Mi Vilna. Sounds remarkable. Teretz is, if you look at people today and you see Hasidim, the Rebbes that the Hasidim follow definitely are what we would call a Chosid according to the Torah. And many of the Hasidim also are Chosid. But then you have among them those who are just in practice, they're acting as Hasidim. The baro, the outside action, seems to be that of a Chosid, but not necessarily yet complete on the inside. When the Torah says Chosid, Torah means someone who is lifnim mishur sadin. You can't go lifnim mishur sadin if you haven't approached the din yet. The second parak in Masechta Avos, you find the Mishnah says, Ein bur yirei chet v'loyam oretz chosid. In the fifth parak of Masechta Avos, you find Hillel saying a mimer. Says, Hu ha yoimer, shiva dvorim begoylom, v'shiva bechocham. What we see here is that there are five madregas. There's the madrega of a boor. A boor is someone who lacks intellect, and he lacks intelligence. It comes from an Aramaic term, really, the Targum, where the Targum says, on the Pasuk, v'adam aloi sishoim, the Targum says, the Oretz loy tibor. Bur means it's desolate. Person doesn't have anything, doesn't know, never studied, doesn't even have the ability to study. He's not really a capable individual. Above that, you have the Darga of an Am Oretz. So an Am Oretz, you can always look back and say, at least I'm not a bur. The Am Oretz, he may have knowledge in general. May know science, may know history, may know mathematics, may have learned and read, may be good at his profession, but he doesn't have Torah. The Am Haaretz lacks Torah. So he's lacking that which would qualify him as someone who is above the Am Haaretz. And who's above the Am Haaretz? The Goylem. It's a very misused term, Goylem. Goylem, at least he's better than Am Haaretz. He's not an Am Haaretz. He knows, he learned. So what is it about the Goylem that's so terrible? Why is he a Goylem? Terah says because the Goylem didn't take that learning and didn't let it permeate into his soul to change his character, to mold his character and his personality, to make him into someone of Kedusha. If he learns Torah, then the Torah has to change the person, has to make a new Kli. And this person didn't allow that to happen. Maybe he had an interest in some knowledge. He said, I like to read the Bible. I like to read the Torah. I like to read the prophets.
No.
He's a golem. Because just to collect some information and not to allow that information to have an effect on you and to make you a better person, that leaves you a golem. So what's above a golem? Above a golem is a chacham. My father, all of a shalom, Rabbi Meir, Rav Moshe ben Rabbi Shayo Yehuda, Zichron Lebracha, used to say to me all the time, he said, you should know that a chacham, a Talmud chacham, is not necessarily someone who learned. You can know all of Shas, it doesn't make you a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is somebody with a zitzen learned. All of you here today, on a regular basis, you come to learn. You're all qualified. You're all Talmidei Chachamim. And I don't doubt that you all also are filled with Shas and Poskim and other things also, but Talmidei Chachamim, you qualify because you constantly are busy learning. So the Talmud Chacham learns and he fulfills the learning and he allows the learning to make of him something very special, to help him to become a sholem, something which is our purpose in this world, to improve ourselves and to become complete. That's the Talmud Chacham. Once you've already achieved that, now you have the right, no, not the right, you have the obligation to continue. My Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Chaim Mordechai Katz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the model cats of tells the yeshiva, used to say that a live fish swims against the current. A dead fish just floats down along with the current. You think that if you're going to stop learning in Tazveni Yom, so I'll be missing that one Yom. It says, no, the Torah says, in Tazveni Yom Yomayim Ezveka, you're going to regress. You're going to get lower, less than you were. You're going to lose what you had. So we have a constant obligation to improve, constantly to learn more. So if we're already on the status of Chacham, we have to go above that. We have to go lifnim mishuras adin. But we're capable, we can now become what's called a Chosid. A Chosid lives lifnim mishuras adin. A Chosid is machmir. Machmir on himself, of course. That's a Chosid. A Chacham doesn't have to be machmir so much. Find what the halacha is, live according to the halacha. But a chosid, already can be machmir on himself. V'loy amoretz chosid. You won't find an amoretz who's going to be able to be successful as a chosid. Fakir, he'll end up being a chosid shoyte. An amoretz is not capable of being a chosid. I'll give you a for instance. They tell a story about an amoretz who happened to be a chicken farmer. And he had chickens and he brought them every day to the shoychet to have them shechted. After all, he was Yirei Shemayim. Don't forget that. An Amoretz is a Yirei Shemayim. That ain't Bur Yirei Chet. But an Amoretz, above that, he's a Yirei Chet. Why not? So the Amoretz brought his chickens to be shechted every day. And if he ever had a shiloh on a chicken, a broken wing, a cracked bone, a leg, or something, he would take it to the Rav. The only problem was that the Rav was about a day's journey away. So he went to the Rav every time he had a problem. And the Rav would paskin, kosher of the trade. He was an Erlich Hayid, an Amoretz, but an Erlich Hayid. And one day a friend of his, another Amoretz, said to him, why are you tiring yourself like this? Why do you go every day to the Rav? It's a day's journey away. He says, I mean, I was just reading in the Torah before. He said, I was reading the Torah. I think I know something. So I was reading how it says, Ubosa basoda treifo lakelet ashlichun oisoi. Obviously, the Torah is telling us, said this other Amoretz, that if something is treif, the dog will know it. So you're supposed to throw treif to the dogs. He says, why don't you take the chicken if you have a shiloh, put it in front of the dog. You'll see, if the dog decides it's treif, he'll eat it. If it's kosher, he'll leave it alone for you. So this other Amoretz also decided that was a good idea. And for quite a while, maybe a few weeks, he was bringing all of the shilohs to the dog. Then one day he takes his shiloh, goes back to the Rav. And the Rav says, you haven't been here for a long time. What happened? There were no shilohs? He says, I'll tell you, sheepishly, he tells, he says, I'll admit, he says, I went to another Paisik. He says, what do you mean, another Paisik? And he tells the Rav what he did. And the Rav looks at him and he says, well, he said, why didn't you continue to rely on the other Paisik? No. He said, that dog of mine, he's such a machmir, everything is straight. An Amoretz is not capable. An Amoretz is not capable of being a chosid, of going lifnim mishuras hadin, of being machmir, of understanding something. first you need to be a chacham. First you have to study and to learn like a chacham. But once you do that, then you're capable of going to the next step of lifnim mishuras hadin, to completely make a sholem of yourself. All of the gedolim, without fail, without anyone lacking, everyone was a sholem. Rav Aaron Kotler Zecher Tzadik Livracha was a sholem, and Rav Moshe Zatzal was a sholem. The Satmar Rav Yoel Olav Shalom was a sholem. Everybody was a sholem. They had achieved the shleimus in all three areas: b'nadam la'moke, b'nadam la'chaveiro, b'nadam la'atzmoi. I once heard from Rav Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, Zichron Livracha, talking about his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, Zichron Livracha. And he said, you know, many people talk about the godless of my Zayda, Rav Chaim, and they talk about what a great genius he was. What an absolute tzaddik. He brought a new derech in Torah. He brought the Brisker derech. We can't learn Torah without it. Indispensable, he says, and that's true. It's true. Rav Chaim was such a great tzaddik. He was a godly ador. He said, but you know, I see a different tittus that's in my mind about my Zayda. He said, I'll tell you, Maisa. In the year 1906, it was either 1906, 1907, it says, in Brisk, there was a Maisa, an incident that took place, a young Jewish boy who was being held in the prison in Brisk, and he was accused of having murdered an emissary of the Tsar. And they already practically completed the case. They were going to have him shot. They were going to have him killed. But he was meanwhile being held in Brisk in the prison. Now, what takes place here takes place on a Yom Kippur evening. Everybody's in shul by Kol Nidre. And the news comes to Rav Chaim Brisker. And he hears this, he gets up, the bima, they get that klap, and he announces everybody should put off your talesim, go home. I want you to come back with as much money as you can manage to get. We need money, Pratzolos Nefoshes, Pikuach Nefesh. Here I want to try this pidyon shvuyim. You have to come right now. And they went, and he also sent out his gabbai to the different shuls in Brisk. Everybody should do the same. Within a short few hours, they had gathered about 3,000, whatever the coin of the realm was at the time, and they gathered 3,000 coins, $3,000, and he took that. With his gabbai, they went down to the police station to have a word with the chief of police. He was going to attempt a shoychad, you know, with a goy, a shoychad, vayivtzervoy vayikach. So he gave it to him, was successful. Then they accompanied him to the train station, Rav Chaim Brisker on Yom Kippur, accompanied him to the train station, said goodbye to him. The next day, when the authorities came to pick up this young boy, the authorities saw a letter, and the letter had been written by the chief of police, and it attested to the fact that this boy could not have committed that crime as he was with me at that very time. Got off the hook. But there's something I didn't tell you. Who was this young boy? The young boy, and I don't know if you've heard the term before, because I see a lot of people here are rather young. The young boy was a Bundist. A Bundist, come to describe that of the time, maybe you'd say an early communist. And I have no love for communism. I have, in Far Rockaway, I have a shul. Most of the people there, most of the Yidden, are Russian Yidden from Russia. And they're elderly, senior citizens. And from what I see, what has been done to them, how Torah and Yiddishkeit has practically been eradicated from their system. It's so hard to bring them back. Baruch Hashem, we're succeeding. Baruch Hashem, we made a bris a few weeks ago. A 69 and a half year old man made him a bris. His name used to be Kim. Kim is the letters K-I-M. It stands for Kommunistisch-Chassidisch International Moladoje, which means Communist International Youth. Azoyev Gebana name. No bris, no nothing. No Yiddishkeit, no Torah. Baruch Hashem, his name is Yisroel ben Yitzchak. And so I see what this, the Bund, which was the precursor of the even worse, you may have heard of the Yevsekes. The Yidden who unfortunately wanted to try to eradicate Yiddishkeit. The only thing they wanted to keep was some semblance of a national language. They wanted to keep Yiddish. That was a big deal by them, have Yiddish. Don't forget about that. But otherwise, nothing. No breath, no air, like a fish, no water to breathe. And they almost succeeded. Almost succeeded in 70 years. But Baruch Hashem, the Rabbeinu Shalom, Rachmo, is bringing back a lot of Yidden now from Russia. And this boy was a Bundist. So now you understand what we're dealing with. But nevertheless, he was a Yid. So Reb Chaim Brisrot, your paskint, this is an inyan for pikuach nefesh, it's an inyan batzolas nefoshes, pidyon shvuyim, and that's what he did. Zokt Reb Yosher Ber, Zokt there, this was the godless of my Zayda. He says, you knew about the godless of my Zayda because you knew about his godless in Torah. He says, I want to show you what kind of a godless he had. He wasn't afraid of anybody. He did what he knew was right. The time doesn't allow. If it does at the end, I'll tell you one more mitzvah that he told about his Zayda of Chaim. But getting back to our subject, a person looks at this time of the year, dafke for shleimus, in all these three areas. I think it's only 2 minutes. I think I'll tell you the story. Another Maisel to Reb Chaim, to illustrate this point of the Shlemus of a Tzaddik, is that in Brisk, before he was hired, they were looking for a Rav in Brisk. And there was a committee, not necessarily great Talmidei Chachomim, obviously not. They looked at Reb Chaim, they spoke to him a little bit, and they decided, he's not a big enough Talmud Chacham for us. But there happened to be one individual there who was a Talmud Chacham among the committee, and he was a wealthy man, very known in the whole community. And he convinced them, he says, I spoke to Reb Chaim, believe me, he's a gem, and you should hire him. And because of him, Reb Chaim was hired in Brisk. Well, some years later, came a Maisa one day, a poor tailor in Brisk passed away in the morning. Well, they brought him down to the Chevra Kedisha, take care of him. About 2 hours later, that Oshir, that Talmud Chacham who had been responsible for Chaim being coming to Brisk, he passed away. He was Nifter. Naturally, everybody knew him, the whole community. And at that time in Brisk, they couldn't handle two Levias at once. They would do one, and then later in the evening it would come, they would do the other one. So they decided, the Chevra Kedisha decided they're going to do the second one, the one of the Oshir. Reb Chaim heard about this. And he sent word, he says, no, he says, the halach is, whoever died first is the one you should be metapel with, you do the Oni. I don't care what the situation is. And they wouldn't listen. They couldn't believe such a thing. He went down personally, he took his staff and he took his shamas and he went down personally. He chased them away from the gevir. And he insisted and he made them deal with the tahara of the poor tailor. There were only a few people at the funeral. Maybe three, four people. And it wasn't until later in the evening, whereas the whole town would have been there for the Oshir had he had his funeral earlier, now not so many people showed up. And the family held it against Reb Chaim forever. Aver. You have to know, you have to have shleimus in your understanding of every aspect of Torah. Not just in knowing a halacha, how to learn something, but to be able to make of yourself the kind of an individual who will be a keli that can actually live Torah, breathe Torah. And this was Reb Chaim Brisker, this is the same of all of our gedolim. And this is what we have to try to achieve, each one of us, in our own way, on our own level. And I'd like to end, it's already, time is up, I'd like to end by telling you that at this time we shall all be granted a Shana Toivah and a Sukkah, and the word Shleimus is also the word Shalom. So we ask, we beseech the Rabbeinu Shalom to bring Shalom al Yisrael, which is so badly needed, Shalom in the world, with the advent of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.